KTU Cares, a salute to local heroes.
What kind of world do you want? Think anything. History starts now.
Good morning. My name is Cindy Vero, and welcome to another edition of KTU Cares. I hope you're having a great Sunday morning. And every weekend, I have the opportunity to speak with people in the different communities and sometimes even around the world. And I'd love to hear about what people are doing in their communities to make them a better place for not only themselves, but for everybody else to live. I speak to our hometown heroes making big differences in the communities where they live. And I also enjoy hearing about the different fundraisers and charity events that are going on, too. And that's what KTU Cares is here for, to give you the platform to tell our audience what's going on in the community, raise awareness for what you're so passionate about, or of course, raise awareness on certain people that are doing great things in the community, making them a better place to live. Now, if you happen to know somebody doing something great in the community, simply go to ktu.com, keyword KTU Cares. Send me an email with all the information that we need to talk about what you're so passionate about, and before you know it, you'll be on the KTU Cares program too. This morning, I welcome two wonderful women in the KTU Cares studio. It's always a pleasure to hear about what people are doing to help people out, especially in this economy, in these trying times. The ladies that I have here are helping out the people in the community by helping them better themselves and find work. This morning, I welcome Jennifer DaCosta. She's the publicist for Abby Coat, known mostly as Absolutely Abby. They're both in studio with me this morning, and welcome here to KTU Cares.
Thanks so much.
Yeah,
thanks
you're
for
welcome.
Having us.
Good morning.
You're welcome, Absolutely Abby, and of course, Jennifer, thank you so much for getting up and coming in this Sunday morning. We've got a lot of things to get to, so I'm just going to ask you, Abby, what's Absolutely Abby all about?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I have so much to say about that. I have 15 years worth of experience to say about that.
Okay.
I've been in human resources for 15 years on the recruiting side, and I've helped thousands of people find jobs. But what I haven't been able to do when you're in human resources is you're not able to tell people why they're not getting the job.
Okay.
So when someone sends in a resume with a typo, or when someone comes in for an interview and they have a fishy handshake, or they're wearing their Bluetooth headset behind their ear, or their cell phone rings in the middle of the interview, I can't say to them, I didn't hire you because of that reason. So they just have to guess as to why I didn't hire them. And I've had this pent-up frustration for 15 years, and after a while, it got so much that I decided to start writing a blog about it on absolutelyabby.com, and then eventually wrote my first book, which is Absolutely Abby's 101 Job Search Secrets.
Before we go any further about Absolutely Abby, Abby, how are you connected to Jennifer?
Well, Jen is my publicist, and she's helping me get the word out. My goal this year is to meet 1 million job seekers, and you can't really do that on your own. You need a little bit of help. So Jen is helping me with that, and I have a great team helping me because I really do believe that I have the materials that are needed by 1 million job seekers to get back to work. So I really, that's what I want to do. I just want to get out there and spread the word and go around the country and get people to get back to work.
You mentioned a few things just before about the Bluetooth, the cell phone ring, big no-nos. I know for myself, the things that I would do, I would leave the phone in the car. I would make sure that, you know, everything was right on my resume before I even sent it out, because you always want to look the best you can and present yourself the best way you can, especially when you're looking for a new job or a change in a career or anything along those lines. You always want to put your best foot forward. I wouldn't even think to bring my phone into the interview, wear the Bluetooth piece at all. But what are some other no-nos, Abby, that people listening in the KTU Cares audience right now could maybe take that advice with them if they're on the job search right now?
Oh my goodness, there's so many, Cindy. I could write a book about it, and I did. So one of the things that you should definitely not do is don't have a clammy, fishy handshake. So when you shake someone's hand, it needs to be a firm handshake.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse than when you shake someone's hand if it's like droopy and you feel like you're shaking a fish.
Yeah.
That's definitely a no-no. Wearing open-toed shoes is another no-no. It doesn't really bother me, but of course, there's so many different people out there. Recruiting is not a science, so many of us have our different opinions,
mm-hmm.
and there are some recruiters and some hiring managers that see that as a big no-no.
You always want to put your best foot forward.
Yeah, and please always wear a suit on an interview, regardless mm-hmm. of the dress code, even if it's a casual company. You want to look better than everybody else there, and you want to make sure that your suit is ironed and clean and your fingernails are clean. Don't wear too much perfume. Don't wear too much jewelry. Don't wear too much makeup.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to be simple, neat, and clean, and just look polished as if you were going to take a photo for a profile. That's what you want to look like.
A lot of people don't even know some of these few simple things that you can do to
yes.
set yourself apart from the flock.
Well, the worst part is that once you do the opposite of these things, that's where the no-nos start to happen. And it's very hard. If you walk in there with open-toed shoes, it's not that you're not going to get the job, but it's like a little strike against you. For some people, not for me, but for a lot of hiring managers, that's a no-no. But like the fishy handshake, if you start the interview with a fishy handshake, it's trouble. I had an example the other day where a candidate walked into the building. I was doing some work for a client. The first thing they said, I said, "Hi, I'm Abby." And they said, "Hi, I'm so-and-so." And they said, "You know, the number one on your building is way too small. You need to make it bigger. I couldn't find the building." So that's the first thing they said to me. So clearly I think to myself, well, this person is not self-motivated. This person can't follow directions. This person is a complainer, a whiner. I mean, there's like 10 things that this person revealed to me in that one little sentence.
It's amazing.
Every little thing you say, you need to really seriously consider before you say it. And you have to practice interviewing. You can't just go in there cold. It's really all about that.
You know, some people, they just feel when they meet people for the first time, they could just be their normal self,
right,
hanging out and let anything just come out of their mouth.
Oh, that's true.
You're up against so many contenders, you want to stand out from the rest. You don't want to put yourself in a position where, like this person talking about the one on the building, already has strikes against them because they said just a few simple words to set them apart from the flock, but not in a good way.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so important that you practice these things. See, the thing is, if you are a great candidate, it doesn't matter if you can't interview well. It doesn't matter if you go into the interview and don't bring a clean copy of your resume. It's a strike against you, and you don't want three strikes, because three strikes, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
Go in there with bad breath, that's another thing.
Ugh.
Or messed up hair, or, I mean, there's like so many. That's why I had to write a book. There's so many of these things, and people, they're simple things, and if people would just not do these simple things, then they would have a much better chance of getting a job. Sitting at an interview with your chin leaning on your hand. That's another one. Someone did that the other day. They were in sales, and they're leaning on their hand with their chin. Would you hire a salesperson who's leaning?
It almost comes off to me, if I was to see that they're bored.
Right, exactly. Or crossing your hands in an interview.
Mm-mm.
That's about looking defensive or not open to new things, not flexible. Everything that you do, we're analyzing in HR. And so you have to make sure that you have these little things corrected.
For those listening in the KTU Cares audience now, let's say that you have the polished resume, you're all put together, now you're in the interview mode. You're in the room one-on-one or one-on-a-few, depending on your position and, you know, whoever's interviewing you. What are some tips and techniques if somebody throws curveball questions at you? How can you, like, defend yourself against the questions that are asked, but you don't know how to answer? Give some advice to the K2 Cares audience about what they can do to be the best they can once they're in that interview setting.
Well, the most important thing you can do is prepare in advance. And there are so many books on interview questions that you can look at. And at least to prepare the basic questions on interviewing, somebody throws at you a curveball question and you don't know the answer,
mm-hmm,
and you really, really stumped, one thing to do is to take a guess. That's
okay.
One thing to do. And the other thing to do is to say, "I'm not really sure, but I think maybe," you know, and you offer a guess. Or you can say, "Can I think about this and give you an answer in approximately, you know, a little bit later during the interview?" It's going to be a rare thing where you really won't have a clue.
Yeah.
It's usually that it's just different and you have a clue, but you don't want to say it because you think it's wrong. It's not that you're like stumped usually, you know?
What are some other examples of body language that looks negative that mm-hmm people pick up on that maybe the people listening right now in the audience could learn from? Maybe they realized, "Ooh, I'm crossing my arms," or "I'm chewing gum," or "I'm leaning on my hand."
Oh, yeah. No more chewing gum, please.
Yeah. Make sure you spit that out.
Don't have mints or anything. If you have a cough, you can ask the person before you start talking, "Do you mind if I suck on a cough drop?"
Mm-hmm.
That's fine, but don't just do it because we think you're chewing gum. That's bad.
Okay.
But so twirling your hair, tapping your fingers, swinging your feet.
Shaking your leg,
tapping anything. And sitting in a chair without moving your arms just looks so unnatural.
Rigid.
So you want to use a little bit of arm motion for that. If somebody starts leaning backwards in the chair, that means that they're getting disinterested in what you're saying. So you should start leaning forwards in your chair to try to bring them back
mm-hmm
to you.
Okay.
It's a subtle one.
See, all these techniques, I had no idea.
What about direct eye contact?
Absolutely. That's another one that's huge, especially when I'm asking you questions about things that you're not comfortable talking about. You have to practice Like, so if I say to you, why did you leave your last job? And you start answering the question, you start looking away. Ooh. I'm assuming you're lying or just really uncomfortable about the situation. So I'm going to probe more to find out more about what you're uncomfortable about. So you want to look straight at me and just practice answering that question. Anything that you're uncomfortable with. Why did you leave your last job? Why have you been unemployed for a year? Anything that makes you uncomfortable, practice that. Practice with a buddy. And look straight in their eye the whole time.
Yeah, always look them in the eye and give a firm handshake. That's what I was told all the time.
Yeah.
You know, if you want the job or anything, whatever might happen in your life, especially when you have to like either defend yourself or talk about something, always in the eye.
Yeah, absolutely. And also have to practice being able to explain the details of your accomplishments and what you did on the job. Because most people, they can give you like generalities, but they can't give you specifics about exactly what they did and how great they are. And that's what we need you to do. It's really a sales pitch that you're, you know, it's like a half hour to 45 minute sales pitch. So you have to be able to tell us what makes you better than every single other person in that field.
Why is it important to search for a job that you love, Abby?
It is so important because here's the thing. Let's say you're in a job. And by the way, Oprah says, I think it was Oprah, that said 80% of the population does not like what they do. I mean, can you just believe that, that 80% of the people are in jobs and have been in jobs for years and years just doing the job and going home? Once you find a job that you love, you will feel so much more energy and passion in your whole life. Because if 8 hours a day you have to go to work and do something you don't love, and you do that 40 hours a week, then when you get home at night, you're yelling at everybody, you're taking out your aggression on your family, you can't relax.
Everything's misdirected.
Everything. And I, for one, know what that's like, because just for the past year, since I've been Absolutely Abby, I completely love what I'm doing. When I get up in the morning, I jump out of bed, I can't wait to go help some job seekers.
I have to tell you, I'm very grateful for the job that I have. I've had the honor to be working at KTU here for a couple of years now, and it doesn't feel like work. And my friend always said to me, when you love what you do, it's not work. Granted, there is hard work involved, but it's a lot of fun.
It's true. What I'm doing for the past year, I feel like I've had a big hobby.
Yeah.
Really, this is what life should be. And everybody, I encourage everybody to look for their dream job. And even though you're out of work and it seems hopeless and dismal, this may be a great time for a career wake-up call where you can, you know, really seriously consider, what is it that I've always wanted to do? And maybe this is my time to do it.
Should job seekers consider temporary jobs while they're looking for a full-time position or maybe their dream job?
Sure. In fact, definitely. I think that having something to do during the day will keep you positive and motivated to keep going. And the cool thing about the temp job is that it's really a try and buy. So you get to determine if you like them, and they get to determine if they like you. And usually what happens is you go in there and you perform at 150%, and they're not going to let you walk out the door at the end of the contract. They're going to try to hire you. So yes, definitely. Temp jobs, definitely.
I know my sister is a big fan. Before she found what she loves to do, she was a big fan of using the temp agencies. And she said, you know what? It's just like trying on different shoes. See which one fits you the best. And a temporary job led to a full-time job for her quite a few years ago. And she was there 5 years before she decided to do a career change. And she said, I'd use a temp agency any day of the week if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now that I love.
Exactly. And it's consulting also. You can go to the Chamber of Commerce in your area and sign up to be a member there and go to meetings and meet CEOs and offer to help them part-time with a project that they have. And that may also turn into a job. You just have no idea.
You don't have a crystal ball. You don't know what's going to happen.
And you may love it. You may end up loving your temp job that you didn't expect to love. And volunteering, by the way, is another huge thing that I think every job seeker should be doing 20% of the time, is find a charity that you really believe in. Go volunteer. It's a great way to network. It's a great way to build some skills that you don't necessarily have, and makes you feel good. Helps the world. There's just so many great reasons to volunteer.
And that's why I love to have people like yourself, Abby and Jennifer, on KTU Cares, because you help so many people just by putting your advice out there or having people take a look at your website, absolutelyabby.com, giving people that hope, putting a light on something that they might not have even thought about within the interview process, resume process. And in this economy, we could all use a little bit of help. So thank you both for being here today, for helping out the KTU Cares audience, and of course, sharing sharing your experience and your insight as to how to make yourself better and set yourself apart from the rest. The candidates still have to send in cover letters?
Oh, yes. Now, it's interesting. You can ask a lot of different recruiters about that, and there are so many different opinions out there, but this is what I would say. Let's say you're an administrative assistant, and there's so many different administrative assistants out there looking for work right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't send in a cover letter and you just send in a resume, your resume looks like every other administrative assistant's resume. So what the cover letter does, first of all, you're going to personalize it to the company and talk about why you want to work for that company, in that industry, in that job, and maybe even for that hiring manager. And then you sell yourself a little bit and talk about why you stand out above the rest, why you're the best administrative assistant in the area, and why they should call you. If you don't send the cover letter, you're just like everybody else.
You're listening to KTU Cares, and this morning in studio, I have Absolutely Abby and Jennifer DaCosta sharing some great interview and resume tips for people that are trying to get back into the workforce. What are some unique things, Abby, that candidates can do to be noticed by hiring managers?
Well, here's a cute one. Back in the day, we used to send faxes to apply for jobs. And what happened is once the internet took over in the 2000s, the fax machine sort of sits silently in the corner. And what I recommend to people is that they fax their resume to the hiring manager, because when the fax rings, people in the room are going to jump up and think it's a lunch menu, and they're going to go running
yes.
over to the fax
yes.
machine. Like, what is that? They haven't heard that ring in years. So I recommend that you fax a resume. And I say this all the time. Someone actually did it and told me that they got a job 3 weeks after I told them to do that. So that's one thing. But besides that, you need to be using social media. For example, LinkedIn. Everyone should be on LinkedIn.
I'm on it.
Yeah,
I'm on it.
We're all on it. And you have to use LinkedIn to get yourself connected to hiring managers.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you use LinkedIn to get introductions. First, you find their name on LinkedIn, and then you ask your friends and your networking connections to introduce you to those people.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, you're in the black hole. When you send in a resume through an online job board, you go into a big applicant tracking system, and the only way to get out of the applicant tracking system is to have the exact keywords on your resume that I'm looking for that particular minute.
Amazing.
And there's no way to do that. There's no way to get inside my head and the head of every other recruiter. So what you do is you find the company, use LinkedIn to get an introduction to the hiring manager, and
mm-hmm.
then you're outside the black hole.
That helps right there.
Yeah.
And what about Twitter, Facebook, blogging, anything along those lines?
Well, certainly Twitter. There are people who have gotten jobs using Twitter because
mm-hmm.
you go on Twitter and you start tweeting about your industry or your profession, and then suddenly you're seen as a thought leader. Or you start blogging and people start to notice you as someone who actually knows what they're talking about. And then they have a job opening and they see you and they call you, and that's what happens. And many people have found jobs using Twitter just by talking about what they know. Blogging, same thing.
It's amazing how far we've come.
It's a whole different world.
The social networking stuff is fantastic. It just connects everybody to everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you get connected to people on Facebook that you haven't heard from in years. How did I get connected to Jennifer?
It was on LinkedIn.
My coworker sent me
an email
mm-hmm. from her, and I reached back out to Jennifer, and we got connected. Now I'm connected to you.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Networking is so fantastic. And the other thing that's so important for job seekers to understand is the concept of the never-ending interview. And I talk about that all the time. What that means is when you're in job search mode, you are always on an interview.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, if you're in the supermarket and you're standing next to someone online, instead of picking up the new edition of People magazine, just start chatting to your neighbor online.
You never know.
And you have no idea where they work. Going to the gym, instead of just riding on your bike, look to your right, look to your left, have a chat with people. Just chat with everybody and do it in an tactful way. You don't want to walk up to someone and say, hey, I'm looking for a job. You just start having a friendly conversation, like as if you're trying to be friends. And then eventually it'll come out that you're looking for a job and you'll find out what they do. And you just never know. You have to be on your toes all the time when you go out of your house.
Abby, can you share an example with the KTU Cares audience about somebody just having a regular conversation with somebody and it led to a job opportunity?
Somebody went to throw their trash out in their condominium complex, and someone else was throwing out their trash, and they met at the dumpster, and they started having a chat. Turns out that this second person had just moved into the area because their company relocated them. And they exchanged information. This person got the job by throwing away her trash.
Unbelievable.
And they posted this on my Facebook page. That's how I heard that story. It's the power of the never-ending interview. And I know someone else who got a job by getting a haircut because he sat down in the hairdresser's chair. This person was complaining they just got laid off. They were a CFO. They were complaining about just getting laid off, and the hairdresser had just heard a story about someone who was complaining they couldn't find a CFO.
It's almost like it was just waiting for you.
It's the never-ending interview. You just never know. You have to believe you're always on an interview.
So if that's the one thing that the K2 Cares listeners could take away this morning after hearing everything that you've just talked about, Abby, is always be in interview mode. You never know. That never-ending interview.
That's it.
Keep that with you because you do never know.
That's it.
And you never know how somebody's going to become connected. Get yourself on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, any of the social networking services.
That's it.
Take advantage of that. Abby, to go back to talking about the interview process, what are companies looking for when they actually do a background check?
Well, we check people's social security numbers. We're checking to see if you have a criminal background. We're checking to see if you graduated from the school you told us you graduated from. And that you graduated the same date that you told us you graduated. And by the way, there have been so many times where we've had a candidate at the final round and we weren't able to hire them because they said they had a degree and they didn't. And it wasn't a job that they even needed a degree for. So for an example, for an administrative assistant or maybe even an IT tech, you don't necessarily need a degree for every company. But don't say you have a degree if you don't have a degree, because you're never going to get the job. Even if you make it through the interview and you're fabulous, companies don't hire people that lie. Mm-hmm. So you really have to be truthful. You have to be truthful on your salary, on your titles, on your dates of employment, on your education. That's what we're looking for.
If you're a parent and you're thinking about coming back to the workforce, what kind of challenges will parents face when they do go back into the workforce?
Well, I think that the challenges are getting your mindset back into working. And you want to find a company that's very flexible, that will work around potentially your children's sick days, maybe not charge you for vacation days if you have to take time off for your kids. Flexible hours, maybe a company that allows you to telecommute, very flexible boss. Those are the types of things that you want to look for. But you have to really seriously consider childcare issues. You want to be able to go back to work with a clean mind so that you can just go to work and not have to worry about anything else.
Not worry about what's going on at home.
Yeah.
When something's going on at home, it's on your mind when you're at work.
Right. And it's going to be on your mind.
I mean,
clearly. But the thing is, you want to really kind of eliminate all these things so that you can do a great job while you're there.
Now, on the other side of the spectrum, how about for job seekers over 50? What advice could you give to them, Abby?
Oh, my goodness. I meet so many people at that age, at this point, 50, 60, even 70, and they've been working for companies for years and years, and then all of a sudden they've been downsized and they haven't looked for a job in 30 years. And it's so depressing to me to see these people, and I feel so bad for them. And that's one of the reasons that I do these career wake-up calls every 2 weeks to help them. And on these calls, what I do is I talk about the importance of making sure that your technology is up to date, making sure that your energy level is up to date. You have to go into an interview and have passion and excitement and energy, and regardless of your age, whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50. So you need to do that, but especially you have to have confidence in yourself. And don't walk in the door feeling like I'm overqualified, I'm too old for the job. That's going to come out in your interview if you have that feeling. So what you want to do is just walk in there and feel very confident and believe I am here and I'm going to do a great job. Now, one thing you can do if someone says to you that they think you're overqualified for a job, one of my friends had this idea. What you say is, if you were on a plane and there was a pilot in the cockpit and you had a choice of either a pilot or an overqualified pilot, which would you prefer? And obviously, same thing goes with a surgeon. Do you prefer a qualified surgeon or an overqualified surgeon? You can say, yes, Mr. Hiring Manager, I may appear to be overqualified, but that means I'm going to get to do the job much faster than all the qualified people. It's going to be more efficient. I'm going to have thousands of different ways to do the job, more ideas for the company. My experience is only going to help you.
And they'd also be prepared to troubleshoot as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So being overqualified is an advantage. And most people see that as a disadvantage. And you can't walk into the interview believing that you're at a disadvantage. You have to believe that you're 150% right for this job. And then it will be so easy to sell yourself.
Now, that also goes for when you get that question handed to you, what is your greatest weakness? I've heard that in an interview before.
Yeah. The one we don't want to hear about is I'm a workaholic, because that's just sort of a cop-out, I think. And the other one is I'm a perfectionist. It's another one. So you really have to think to yourself, what are my true weaknesses? What can I say that will not get me not hired? But at the same time, you want to talk about how do you deal with your weakness? How do you get over the weakness? What are you doing to try to improve the weakness? That's the kind of thing we want to hear. Self-improvement. Everybody has a weakness. Sure. We know. And if you can't tell us what it is, right, if you don't tell us what it is, then we have to sit and guess. And we might guess that it's something wrong and might not hire you because we think it's something else. So just figure out what it is. And by the way, I would prep two of those because a savvy interviewer might ask for two.
So much great advice from Absolutely Abby. It's unbelievable. And I know our KTU Cares listeners are just going nuts because, like I said earlier in the interview, we're in a trying time. Everybody knows it. People are getting downsized. People are getting let go from their jobs that they've had for years. There's parents trying to get back into the workforce. So all of this advice and all of this help, you're helping so many people out. And just to let people know, if they have any questions, they want to take a look at getting your book or anything along those lines, check out absolutelyabby.com.
But there's another thing, Cindy, that I want to let everybody know about is I have a website called careerwakeupcalls.com. Every 2 weeks, I answer questions from job seekers just like this. So if you enjoyed this interview, I'm doing this every 2 weeks for an hour, and I've done 23 of these calls so far, and it has been my absolute pleasure. These calls are free of charge. I have 200 people on the call every week. What you do is you submit your question before the call happens, and I answer the question live without mentioning your name. I have room for 1,200 people on my phone line, and I'm trying to find 1,200 people. So I'm hoping today we're going to get 1,200 people for me to help every 2 weeks.
That's one big conference call.
It is. And all I want to do is help people. And I have all these answers, and I've been holding them back for 15 years, and I just want to help people. So I just got to find those people that need the help.
One other thing. If anybody goes online and they buy Abby's book, which is only $20, so she's really tried to keep it affordable for people who are having trouble trying to find jobs. She's also throwing in a new book that she's written called Absolutely Abby's Top 12 Interview Questions Exposed. So a lot of these questions that we're talking about today, those are going to be answered in there as well. So it's small. People can put it in their pocket. They can take it with them, prepare right before the interview. And it's just a really, really great value.
What if somebody committed a crime? Are they doomed from the start in the interview process?
No. If you committed a crime, or if you were terminated for cause, or if there were any other what I would call skeletons in the closet that you come in the interview with, key is to prepare the answers to the questions beforehand. Again, with the looking the person straight in the eye. And what you want to say is, yes, I committed a crime. Yes, I did the time. But I learned from it, and this is what I learned, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I will never do something like that again, blah, 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 blah. And if you say that with your eyes straight on the person and indicate a little bit of remorse, you'll be fine.
And is cold calling into a company or sending direct mail a good idea, Abby?
These days, doing anything that everybody else is not doing is a good idea. So what everybody else is doing, you need to do something else. Cold calling is a fabulous idea. Sending direct mail to a company that you've always wanted to work for. So if I wanted to really get a job with Ellen in California, I would simply send a letter to Ellen telling her how fabulous she is and how I've been her biggest fan forever and ever. And that would be in my cover letter. And then I would follow up with a call. And that stands out from the crowd because no one else is doing it.
That does set you apart.
Yeah.
It's like faxing your resume.
It's just look at what everybody else is doing. What everybody else is doing is they go on the job board and they click on apply now. That's what they're doing. They're not thinking outside the box. They're not using LinkedIn to support their networking. And they're not tweeting. They're not using Facebook. They're just doing apply online. And I know this because I still do recruiting for a number of clients, and I get all of my applications online, just like everybody else. And people aren't doing these special things, even though I talk about them on my career wake-up calls, and I write about them, and simple little things that will set you apart from the crowd. If you send a chocolate shoe in the mail to a hiring manager, and you say, I'd just like to get my foot in the door, there's a really good chance they will call you.
Really?
Who doesn't like some chocolate, Cindy?
Yeah, hello? What a good idea. I would have never thought of that.
But again, that's outside the box. If you're a CFO, you can take Monopoly money and stick it in an envelope with your resume and say, if you hire me, I'm going to help you save money for the company. These little things. Nobody does this. I've been doing recruiting for 15 years, and nobody does this. Only one time I received a box of bananas, and someone said that if I hire them, my sales will go through the roof, or will go bananas, something like that. These little things, they stand out from the crowd, and there's so many people competing for the same jobs that you're competing for. So you have to do these things.
Before we close, Abby, what's the deal with the resume? One or two pages? What do you suggest?
What I think about it is that if you just do a one-page resume, you're going to have a teeny tiny font, for one thing,
yeah.
And you're going to try to smush all of your information into this one page. If you Make it 2, 3, 4, whatever it needs to be. You can tell me about your accomplishments. You can put a summary on the top. You can put more keywords in there so that you'll get found in that big black hole that I was mentioning earlier. You'll be able to really elaborate on your skills, and you'll be able to put your volunteer activities. You'll be able to mention that you won a ping pong tournament on your resume. Just different things that set you apart. So if you try to cram it into the one page, I think you're really missing out on the information that I actually need.
Jennifer DaCosta and Absolutely Abby, thank you so much for joining me in the K2 Care studio this morning. Find out more information about Absolutely Abby at absolutelyabby.com.
You can also look at careerwakeupcalls.com. You can go to 101jobsearchsecrets.com. Mm-hmm. That's where you can find my book, and you'll get that copy of the top 12 interview questions exposed. And by the way, you'll also get a CD of me having a conversation with a bunch of job seekers called Job Searching 2010, How to Play and Beat the Odds. You're going to get three things for $20. Really, my mission is to help 1 million job seekers this year, and it's pretty clear that that's what I want to do, and it's been so much fun, and just love it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been my absolute pleasure.
And coming up next week on KTU Cares, I welcome the president of Riverkeeper, Alex Matheson, to the show. Riverkeeper's mission is to protect the integrity of the Hudson River and to safeguard the drinking water supply of New York City and Lower Hudson Valley. Many thanks to Matt Basso for putting KTU Cares together every single week. Thank you so much, Matt. Please enjoy the rest of your Sunday. My name is Cindy Vero, and you're listening to The Beat of New York, 103.5 KTU.